Folks, I wonder, do you have any traditions around Christmas? A whole lot of people do. Well, one of the traditions that Zara and her family have absolutely established in Maine is to watch the Queen's speech. Put up your hand if you watch the Queen's speech, all right? Even the people from Monaghan were watching it yesterday at 3 o'clock. We all turned our chairs around to see what she was wearing the year and all that. But one thing she said in her speech really sort of chimed with me and made me think a little bit about what I would say here. And she says this: while COVID again means we can't celebrate quite as we may have wished, we can still enjoy the many happy traditions. Be it the singing of carols, as long as the tune is well known, decorating the tree, giving and receiving presents, or watching a favourite film where we already know the ending. It's no surprise that families so often treasure their Christmas routines. We see our own children and their families embrace the roles, traditions and values that mean so much to us as these are passed from one generation to the next, sometimes being updated for changing times. Do you catch that? It's no surprise that families often treasure their Christmas routines and traditions. And that's really what I want to think about today. I wonder what your Christmas traditions and routines are. Another thing which wasn't common to people south of the border when I married Zara is sausages on your Christmas dinner. I'd have to say, cocktail sausage on your Christmas dinner. Do you all do that? Oh my goodness. The absolute, absolute cherry on the cake, isn't it? Unbelievable. Coated in honey. Oh, so good. But I wonder, do you know about some of these? Now, this is Dr. Google told me these, right? So hopefully they are true. But apparently in Venezuela, they have a little tradition where it's customary to travel to church on roller skates on Christmas Day. And indeed, so widespread is the practice, many roads in the capital are closed until 8 a.m. to provide Christmas worshippers with a safe passage on their roller skates. Can that be true? Okay, we'll speak to Carla Lockhart about that for next year. Okay, now here, does anybody hate sprouts? Does anybody hate them? All right, a few people hate them here, okay. Well, this will put it into perspective. In Greenland, each Christmas, they have to tuck into matak, which is raw whale skin with a little blubber. You don't like that? And kiviak, which is made by wrapping a small Arctic bird in seal skin. That sounds quite nice, doesn't it? Okay, Ukrainians, in addition to the standard tinsel, fairy lights and baubles, they like to throw an artificial spider's web on the tree as well. There you go, that's their wee tradition. And this is quite a good one. On Christmas Eve, unmarried Czech women stand with their back to the door and toss one of their shoes over their shoulder. And if it lands with a toe facing the door, they believe they'll be married within the next year. There you go. That's worth a wee shot, isn't it? And then on the 5th of December, German children, I have to check this, but I do have some Germans in the parish, leave a boot or a shoe outside their bedroom door. And in the morning, if they've been good, they wake up to the shoe filled with sweets. If they haven't, they'll find only a branch. Okay, a branch. There you go. So those are some Christmas traditions. Maybe something to try out there. But here's what I want to suggest today. The traditions are great, but there can be bad traditions too. And there can be bad routines, as the Queen talked about routines. There can be bad things that set in. And the Queen also spoke about passing traditions on through the generations. And they can evolve into bad things as well. And I just want to suggest three things, three traditions that we don't want, okay, we don't want in our Christmases. Three traditions. The first is a Christmas without Christ. And it's so easy to have a Christmas without Christ, isn't it? So easy. Apparently, back in 1999, it was a similar story actually this year, but this is a better one. There was a story in Chicago where the baby Jesus was stolen from a massive nativity scene in Daly Plaza. And eventually the police recovered the baby at a bus station after an anonymous tip. The baby was just there. But then it was stolen again, even though they'd secured it with a cord and a bolt and a padlock. But it didn't work because in 2004, the same thing happened. It was a 19-year-old student who was able to slip the baby out from underneath the cable, and the law caught up with him, and he was charged with a misdemeanor. He tried to steal the baby out of the manger. I think there's an agenda in our world today to take the baby out of the manger, isn't there? To have the event, but not have Christ in the middle of it. Wouldn't that be awful? It shouldn't be a surprise, though, because David read to us from verse 11 there in John 1 that he came to his own, but his own did not receive him. Okay. He came to his own, but they did not receive him. Imagine a whole religious enterprise going on in the nation, but when the God of that religion, the God of that faith comes, he's not received. Imagine having Christmas but not receiving Christ. And you know, there's lots of people that are working against the coming of Jesus at that time. We know Herod has an agenda, a big agenda, to make sure there isn't a king born that would rival him. But, and there is that in the world. There's absolutely a force in this world that's trying to get Christ out of Christmas, okay, called the devil. But I think most of us are a bit more like the innkeeper. It's not any particular negative agenda. We just don't have any more space in our Christmas forum. Isn't that right? We have a lot going on. You know, there's people, they're so busy tidying their houses, okay, that they don't have time for Christ at Christmas. There's people who are so busy making the Christmas turkey that they don't have space for Christ at Christmas. Innkeepers are much more common, I think, than Herods in the world today, and certainly in the church today. You know, the church got very annoyed. I'm sure anyone shop at Marks and Spencer's here? Okay. No, you don't want to admit it. You don't want to admit it. The church got very annoyed at Marks and Spencer's. Does anybody know why this Christmas? Did anyone see this in the media? Yes. They released Percy Pigs, which they wrote on it, Merry Pigmas. And people struggled because, of course, they were replacing Christ with pig, weren't they? And there was a big argument, you wouldn't do that to Islam, you wouldn't do that to so many other faiths, but yet you've done it to Christmas. Merry Pigmas. But we shouldn't be surprised, should we, that the world are working against Christ and Christmas. Of course they are. Because he came to his own, but they did not receive him. But I suppose the question we ask is, what would we replace Christ with? Would we have a merry, tidy housemas? A merry, big dinnermas? A merry, presentmas? Are we keeping Christ in the middle of our Christmas? Maybe we could just pray this prayer. Hopefully we can see it on the screen. I know our visuals are a wee bit weaker than they will be next year, but hopefully we can see this. I love this. This is a prayer from Max Licato. And let me just read it to you, and then maybe we'll just pray it here, that we would keep Christ in our Christmas and in our St. Stephen's Day as well. Like the stable in which you lay, my heart is simple, frail as hay. But if you would within me stay, make my heart your manger, I pray. Amen. Let's just pray that together. Like the stable in which you lay, my heart is simple, frail as hay. But if you would within me stay, make my heart your manger, I pray. Amen. That's the first tradition we don't want to set in, folks, a Christmas without Christ. The second one, though, is that we don't want to have a Christmas with a plastic baby. We don't want to have a Christmas with a plastic baby. Now, this is ironic because I had a plastic baby yesterday in the talk. All right, I think it might have even been a girl with the eyelashes on her. But we don't want to have a Christmas with a plastic baby. Apparently after that issue in Chicago, they upped the security measures. It had been stolen twice in 5 years. The baby out of the manger. So they upped the security measures, and they found a team of professional security people responsible for making sure the baby doesn't get stolen from Daly Plaza. And they're known locally as the God Squad. and they're very tight-lipped about what security measures they've put in place. The goal of these guys is to make sure that Jesus never leaves the manger again. Okay? Their goal is to make sure Jesus never leaves that manger again. Here's the thing I fear, folks. I fear that many people want to keep Jesus in the manger, don't they? They want to keep Jesus in the manger. They actually do two things. And one of them is our fault because we sing it. But some people don't want to even think of Jesus as a baby. You know, they want him just to be a little prop. You know, what do we sing? Little Lord Jesus, no crying he makes. Anyone ever seen a baby that didn't cry? You'd be worried about a baby that didn't cry, isn't that right? You'd be actually worried about it. That cry, that first cry, is a sign of health and life. That'd be awful if a baby didn't cry. Of course Jesus cried. But we don't want a real baby sometimes. We just want a prop as part of our nativity. But we need a real baby who cries. And we need a real baby who grows up. You know, we've done our little series, What Child Is This? And do you remember we talked about Hannah? And what was Hannah's baby called? Samuel. And Hannah, you'll remember, she gave Samuel to the temple, to Shiloh, to that place. And she gave him, and she said, for this child I've prayed, but now I've given him to the Lord. And she gives Samuel to the Lord. Can you imagine that? But here's the amazing thing. Hannah came back every year. And do you know what Hannah brought to every year to Samuel? Anyone know? What'd she bring to him every year? New soother? No. What was it? What did she say, Anne? You're right. Don't be ashamed of your right answer. She brought him a new robe. Every year. And why did she bring him a new robe every year? Because he was growing. Okay. That's why you don't spend too much on robes for wee babies. Because they grow. And the baby Jesus grew too. Now, an important verse from Luke 2:52. Jesus grew in wisdom and stature and in favor with God and man. Jesus grew. And there's some people who want to keep Jesus in the manger and they never want him to grow up and they never want him to speak the gospel and speak the word of God. And of course, there's many people only come to church at Christmas because of that. They want that moment with him in the manger, but they don't want everything else. Folks, here's the thing. There's a character in fiction called Peter Pan, and he was a boy who never grew up. Jesus is not the same. He grew up. And the things that Jesus said offended some people. The things that Jesus said changed many, many people. And people walked away from Jesus either in love with him or angry with him because he had things to say to the world. It says in verse 14 that he came from the Father full of grace and truth. Full of grace and truth. He had things to say. And it would be awful if we had a Christmas without Christ, but it's awful if we have a fake baby, a sentimental Christmas. The third thing is, wouldn't it be awful if we had a Christmas without a tree? Who's got a real tree here? Who's a real tree? Oh dear, out with the Hoover all the time. Okay, a real tree. It's lovely to have a real tree, but the most important thing is we have a tree. Okay, we have a tree. Do we have a beautiful tree here? Porters, do you put that up? Isn't that beautiful? Fantastic. A tree. Apparently, traditionally, I don't know how they managed this, but traditionally they hung trees upside down. And the point was to be like an arrow from heaven. Love came down at Christmas. But the tree is a beautiful thing. The Catholic Church in New York City apparently had a 200-pound plaster statue of Jesus removed from the cross in that Catholic church and stolen. They stole Jesus, but they left the cross. Isn't that interesting? How did they do it? Chisel? Okay, they stole Jesus but left the cross. Many people want Jesus but not the cross. They want Jesus but not the tree. They want Jesus but not the tree. But yet, Jesus came to die on the tree. We can't separate them. Famous manager Arsene Wenger, okay? We all know who Arsene Wenger is. He said this. He says, Christmas is important, but Easter is decisive. Now, he's talking about the Premier League, but it still counts. Christmas is important, but Easter is decisive. An old preacher said this, and one of my favorite little phrases, it says this, the crib and the cross are made of the same wood. The crib and the cross are made of the same wood. We must have them together. And we must remember that Jesus came not only to be cute in a manger, but also to be Christ on a cross. He really did. I love a story about a guy called Father Damien. And Father Damien was called to minister in a village on the island, on an island, an obscure island in Hawaii, that had been quarantined to serve as a leper colony. And for 16 years, Father Damien lived in their midst. He learned to speak their language. He bandaged their wounds. He embraced their bodies, even though no one else would touch them. He preached to their hearts that would have otherwise been left alone. And he organized schools and bands and choirs. And he built homes so that lepers could have shelter. He actually built 2,000 coffins by hand, this man, Father Damien, so that when people died, they could be buried with dignity. Father Damien was not careful about keeping his distance. He did nothing to separate himself from the people. It was said that he dipped his fingers in the poi bowl alongside his contagious patients. He shared their pipe. He didn't wash his hands after bandaging their open sores on many occasions. He got close, and because he got close, the people loved him. But one Easter day, he stood up in church and began his sermon with two words, we lepers, we lepers. And now everyone knew it was clear that Father Damien was no longer just helping them. Now he had become one of them. From this day forward, he wasn't just a person on their island, he was in their skin. First he had chosen to live as they lived, and now he would die as they died. Now they were in it together. And Jesus, we mustn't lose this important reality. He didn't just come to be cute in a manger. He came to be Christ on a cross to die for you and for me. Some final thoughts just on our last slide. I just want us to focus for a second on being wise men and wise women in our traditions at Christmas. Let's be people who seek him. We seek Christ at Christmas. These guys knew about traditions that are in this book, and they would have read the book of Daniel, and they would have known that there was a star to rise, and they used that tradition to seek Christ. And the beautiful thing is they didn't just go along and ooh and ah, and when they found him, they fell down and worshipped him. Folks, let's do that. Let's not just go to a carol service and go, wasn't that lovely? Because that's such an empty tradition to do that. Let's be people who really do fall down and worship Christ the King. And then it says they opened their treasures and they gave him their gold, their frankincense, and their myrrh. They gave him everything. Let's be people who don't just say, well, we'll go to that service or we'll do this thing, but let's give him our all. As Bonhoeffer said, he's either Lord of all or not at all. Let's give him our all. And then one of my favorite things in that story is it says that the wise men departed another way. Let's leave this Christmas time different. Let's change. Let's be transformed by the renewing of our minds as we come to the manger. Let's stand together. And our team are going to come to lead us again. I'm just going to pray. And we've all received gifts. Hopefully, if you haven't received a gift, come and speak to me. I'll find you something. But let's just hold out our hands as if receiving just one more gift. And this is going to be the best of all. Let's receive Christ right now. Holy Spirit, come. Holy Spirit, come. And put into our hands and our hearts and our minds, Jesus. We don't want a Christmas without Christ. Come. Lord, even if we were too busy yesterday, let the innkeeper come today. And we want to feast on you, Lord. And Lord, we don't want a fake baby. We want the real Jesus. We want the real Jesus who wants to speak into our lives and calls us to live radically for him. Come, the real Jesus, into our hearts and lives. And finally, Lord, we want to thank you for the best gift of all. It wasn't under the tree, but it was on the tree. We thank you for the cross. And we thank you, Lord, that out of your wound came both water of life and blood of forgiveness. And we thank you for the gift of the tree, of life and forgiveness. Holy Spirit, give us a tradition of following you. For Jesus' sake and in Jesus' name, God's people said,
Amen. Amen. Let us worship King of Kings, Majesty. And the first verse, we want the women to sing.